halachas. We need, I think, a deeper perspective on the Kedushas Tefillah. And I will attempt to bring it out with a maisa. This maisa I heard from Rav Lezer Plachinsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And as far as I understand from Rav Shaya Kohn, I didn't remember exactly whom it took place with. I believe he had a brother-in-law, Rav Yakubovich, if I recall correctly. And it was, I think, his brother-in-law's great-grandfather was the Bala Maisa. He was a yeshiva bocher in the Litta. And the people that we're dealing with were born circa 1912. So their grandparents, great-grandparents, were back somewhere approximately 1800, something like that. Early 1800s, yeah. He was walking in a forest in the Litta one day, together with another yeshiva bachur, hiking, walking. And we're both about 15 years old. And they were passing the manor of a Polish or a Litvish porotz, whoever happened to control that area at that time, but of their local parts. Now, this was not a place exactly that a Jew was anxious to wind up inside of. The atmosphere was not expected to be friendly towards Jews. And they were walking by and they passed by and there was a very old man sitting on a balcony on a porch overlooking the forest. And he saw them and he called to them to come into the manor. This was the Alter Poretz himself. And he called them to come, and he was a very old man. And they went in with great trepidation. And he asked them a very surprising question. He asked them, these Goyish Poretz, did you ever see a holy Jew in your life? A holy Jew. So, you know, they started telling him whatever they were familiar with. This guy wasn't impressed. He says, I'll tell you about a holy Jew. He says, earlier in life, in my youth, I was a court officer under the Tsar. And I served in Vilna. And one day we were sitting in court, and they brought a Jew into court, or on trial, whatever he was. He walked in. And he was wearing his talis, he was wearing his tefillin. And he walked in. We were so overtaken by trepidation that we all ran out of the courtroom. We couldn't sit there. We saw him, we were so frightened of him, we ran out, we fled the courtroom. And they made inquiries and they found out that it is known the Goyen of Vilna was arrested twice in his life, was twice thrown into prison. And this was one of the times that the Goyen was brought to court. He was a court officer sitting, representing the Tsar in the courtroom in Vilna when they brought the guy in. Chazal tell us, Baruch al amei haaretz, kishem Hashem nikro alecho b'yoru imeko, is eilu tefillin shabarosh. When they perceive the kedusha of the tefillin shabarosh, they'll be frightened. The Welt says it doesn't mean the tefillin in and of it themselves, but it means a person that has the tefillin, and tefillin doesn't say tefillin shalroish, it says tefillin shebroish, meaning that the person himself personifies the kedushas ha-tefillin. And he's wearing a tefillin, and he reached such a state of kedusha himself, is baruch olam ha'aretz kishem Hashem. It's the presence of the Shechinah is palpable with such a person. It's v'yorav v'mekom. It's a ma'aseh of the Gro, and it's a ma'aseh that we have, Baruch Hashem, a very, very good Messiah for. Not just come from, you know, a story and a book, but, you know, from the Deilei Olam that have a Messiah in their own Mishpacha from this ma'aseh. It's an inkling of what the Kedushas HaTefillin is. And it's aschus, in fact, that we put on the tefillin. With Zoichet to put on the tefillin every day. That's why we find in Simon Lamed Zion that we're very circumspect about putting on tefillin. In actuality, the Shulchan Aruch states, Mitzvosan liya yisalov kalayah. Mitzvah's tefillin is to wear tefillin the whole day. And there's an interesting shaylah that Chofetz Chaim raises. I am a prima godim shem is topic. Min ha-Torah chayev kol hayom? Is this a mitzvah deraisa to wear tefillin the whole day? Or min ha-Torah dai berega echad? It's enough to put on tefillin for one moment each day. Shemeniach. Or min ha-Rabbonon kol hayom? And the fact that one should wear them the whole day is only a din ha-Rabbonon. And therefore, what the Shulchan Aruch continues, avot tzrichim guf noki, a person has to have physical cleanliness and spiritual cleanliness. And shalom yasiach yafiach mehem, he shouldn't allow himself to pass gas while he's wearing them. Shalom yasiach daitam mehem, and be ever conscious of the fact that he has tefillin upon him. Vein kol odem yochol izor behem, and not everyone could keep up to such a standard for a whole day. Is nogu, this comes from the Rosh, nogu shalom lahanichem kol hayom. The minig is not to wear them for the entire day. That every person should be careful, must be careful, the yosem olav, to wear the tefillin b'shas kriya shma tefillin. When he recites the kriya shma and shmon eser. So the second view of the prima godim is this is a din d'rabbanan, and therefore, since it's only a din d'rabbanan, and not to observe proper kedushas tefillin would obviously be a bizoyan tefillin, which is an isa deraisa. So therefore, with noyeg, not to wear them. But with lua afshal shenon aguf nochi, we can't meet up to the high standards of tefillin. To masik, the ikram, shaldvorim. His conclusion is the loyniach yomecha klal tefillin. If you don't put them at all, on at all, be mitzvahs asay. But when nicha rega allah of kiyam a mitzvah. He's fulfilled the mitzvah. Well, mitzvah and amuvcham and atayrah. Within the derais and the kedin, it's a greater level of fulfillment, but not a mandatory one. Liosam alof kolayom, ayin shom. We say for Yeshua is Yaakov, posakim and atayrah mitzvosam kolayom, ayin shom. That it's a din derais.
How come we don't put him on
why don't we put them on tefillin? I presume the reason is among there are certain places, at least on tiniest, I think it's far than put them on for mincha, if I recall correctly. But again, I presume the reason is that we're concerned that it's hard to observe the kedushas of tefillin properly. So, when we b'shas kriya shma, we wear them, and therefore we wear them at shacharis. And dayena, we after that we put them away. We say, let's stop while we're ahead. So Mamela, we wear it for sure, we wear it for the tefillah also. So that's number one. So we get an inkling of how there's a special requirement of observing Kedushas Tefillah. I had a Shaila recently with relevant to Down syndrome children. If they can wear tefillin. And I was personally very reluctant to paskin that they should wear tefillin, because tefillin, we could say they're not going to have hesach hadas, they'll conduct themselves properly, etc. Very, very difficult. I understood, on the other hand, the tsar, that they may have seen the chaverim wear, and also the tsar of the parents. So I didn't want to answer the shayla. Such a shayla, I decided I'm better off that, and I had means to do so, to hear Rabbi Yoshev's daya. Either way, if Rabbi Yoshev feels they're not allowed to, so be it. If Rabbi Yoshev, on the other hand, such a gavarabba allows it, so, you know, they certainly have every right to be soymach on that, so. Because of the anguish of the person that's involved. So I told them, rather than my giving you a psak, I'm not happy with the idea, but let me see what Rabbi Yoshev says. So I got back an answer that he said the following, that if they cannot observe bodily cleanliness, then it's also to put tefillin on them. And he gave a marshal. He says, putting on tefillin on a person who cannot observe bodily cleanliness is the equivalent of putting the tefillin down on the floor. It's an outright bizarre tefillin. If they can observe bodily cleanliness, then he said that one's allowed to put it on them, but it should be for a very short time to put it on. Maybe say the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, whatever it is, a few minutes, and take it right off. So the person that came to me said that their child, especially in the morning, there's no doubt that they'll observe bodily cleanliness in the fullest extent. So under his supervision, he could take responsibility to put on the tefillin, wear it for a few minutes, and take it right off, and that's it. So that's what Rabbi Yosha, the standard that he set. And he's a very, in this regard, in terms of halacha, he's an unemotional person. Not that he's unemotional, but he's been very, very, in his life, strict that the purity of the halacha should not be tainted by one's emotional feelings. He stands out. He's uniquely known for that. For preserving the halacha in its purest sense, without, you know, injecting any level of bias into it. And yet, in a case like this, you know, we found a way within the halacha to give some means to such a child to be mekayem tefillin. Al kolponim, we see the gravity that's involved in kedushas tefillin, and that's why we have a very striking halacha. And I usually discuss this with the Bar Mitzvah Bochum when they come to me. I asked them the following question. I asked them, could you tell me the first time in your life that you lit Neiros Chanukah? They scratched their heads. They can't remember. It's happened so long ago that at the age of 12, they can no longer remember when it first happened. Now, as a child, I once saw a picture in a Jewish newspaper of a man who was 102 years old, and he lit Neiros Chanukah for the 100th time. You know, he lit the first time. He was, I guess, 2 years old approximately, two, just a little past, whatever. He was 102 years old and was lighting Neiros Chanukah for the 100th time. So they start lighting Chanukah. They said, no, they can't remember when they lit Neiros Chanukah. I said, okay. I said, do you remember when you put on tzitzis for the first time? No, they don't remember it. And I asked him, well, do you remember when you picked up a little of an estric on Sukkot for the first time? No memory. So why don't you have a memory? Because it started so long ago that by the time you're 12, you can't even remember when it took place anymore. Right. So I said, so tell me. He said, how come your father decided to buy a tefillin now when you're 12 and a half years old? I mean, the same way that you don't remember when you fulfilled Neiros Chanukah, tzitzis, lulav and esrog the first time, you should have bought your tefillin. And when I asked you now, when's the first time you put on tefillin, you should be equally puzzled. So what happened? Your father is not a cheapskate. He's very careful to be mechanachi properly. So why didn't he buy a tefillin until now? What happened? Not too many of them could answer the question. So we explore what the answer to this question is. So we have in Siman Lamed Zayin, Sif Gimel, Koten HaYodeya Lishmar Tefillin B'Taira, a katan who is capable of fulfilling mitzvahs tefillin b'tahara, then what's the din? When he defines b'tahara shalo yishal, he shouldn't go to sleep in them, v'shalo yafiach b'hem, v'shalo dikonis b'hem levei sakisei, not to go into the restroom wearing them. He understands all of these things. So the Mechaber Paskins Chayiv Oviv Liknos Lo Tefillin Lechancho. His father is Mechuyiv to buy him Tefillin to be Mechanachim. Now I'm not familiar with Svardim that actually do this. And I've yet to hear in any place that I've been that there are 10-year-old Svardim, 11-year-old Svardim, Shaboy is wearing Tefillin. Maybe there is such a place. I've yet to hear of it. So I'd have to make inquiries as to why that's the case, or what is the case. I'll have to ask. I have a number of Sfardish Talmidim. But that's the sheet of the Mechaber. The Ramah says, V'yesh Aymrem, the Ramah defines Ashkenazic practice, the high cotton dafka shehu ben yud gimel shana v'yem echad. that the cotton that we're dealing with, he's already reached the age of bar mitzvah. Maybe he doesn't have all the signs of physical maturation, so technically he's not a gadol yet, but he's 13 years old already. And as we say, he's 13 years and a day. It means the day of his 13th birthday, which is the first day of the 14th year of his life. And the Ramah adds, this is from this comes from the Bala Ita, and the Ramah adds, v'chein nohugu v'ein l'shanis. And this is the minig, and we may not deviate from this. V'chein nohugu. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that one should start putting on tefillin at 13 years and a day. In fact, there are certain communities where they don't put on tefillin until the mitzvah itself, not even a day earlier. V'achshav nohugu l'aniach beis ha'gimel chadoshim koydem hazman. The Magen Avraham writes, this is apparently, I think, the minhag of the Yekes, that they put on 3 months before. The Magen Avraham says 2 or 3 months before. V'ayim v'bir aloch. And from what I know, in terms of the parts of Europe where my family comes from, among Polish and Russian Jews, the minhag is to put on 1 month before the bar mitzvah, to put on tefillin. So this is where Yaitzir Chinuch with 1 month. But again, the care that's taken, that's the reason that we can't just put on tefillin on a cotton. There's a kedusha that has to be observed. So when he's bar mitzvah, he's finally actually mechuyev in the mitzvah, so we have to undertake, and he has a certain, there's some level of maturity at the age of 13. So we undertake that he should wear tefillin. But it's not a light matter. The tefillin has great chashivas. And in that context, we have to understand the Ramah in Lamed Ches Sifkot and Gimel that Noshim va'avodim b'turim mitfilin. Noshim and Eved Knani are exempt from tefillin. Yipneishu mitzvah sasesha as mangrom. It's a mitzvah which has limitations in time. There are two limitations in time that are involved with it. Doshavas yontiv lavas man tefillin. That's certainly in a Nazman Tefillin, neither Shabbos nor Yontif. Now we actually paskin alocha, it's also for Shaila and Gemara, that Laila is Man Tefillin. But because we're afraid that a person may fall asleep in them, we don't put on Tefillin Belaila. But Midraisa, it is Man Tefillin. So that's not the reason that we paskin alocha, that it's Nazman Tefillin, that it's Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Gromo, but rather because in Shabbos and Yontif, there's an exemption from Tefillin. So we have a general klal articulated in the Gemara and Kedushin, that any mitzvah which is time limited, women are exempt from. So the Shulchan Aruch says they're exempt.
The time limitations just Shabbos and Yom Tov, not the fact that you have to put them on by a certain time?
No, because by, that's what I'm telling you, Minatari could put them on, they'll have the whole 24 hours.
Isn't there, you could only put them on in the late afternoon if you want?
Yeah, you could put them on at night too.
Just the first time of the day?
Yeah, Minatari. We basking could actually, we don't put them on at night at all for that reason, because we're afraid a person may come to sleep in them. That's why we don't wear them. But Laila and Minatayra is Mantvila. The Ramah adds the following. Hagov, im hanoshim rotzen lahachmar al atzman. If there's some lady that comes along and she's from, is meichin biyodam. We should protest it. It should not be allowed. And the reason for this is that since they're not mechuyev, we're concerned then, on the other hand, that maybe they won't maintain the kedushas of tefillin properly. For a man, is mechuyev in tefillin. So we have to do the mitzvah, and we have to strive to maintain the kedusha. So we have no choice but to enter into that realm. But someone that, in fact, is not mechuyev to, so when you're not mechuyev to do something and you go to do it, then you surely better make sure that you do it right. Why are we very circumspect, for example, about tefillas nedova? The person's allowed, Rabbi Yochanan said in the Gemara and Brochas, halavaisha, a person should be mispala elef pomim mechuyev, 1,000 times a day. And interestingly, to know the Behuda writes, it's a very obvious question with this maimer of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, we paskin that tefillas are keneged karbonos tikna. It may also be keneged ovos, but they have to do with keneged karbonos. So why in tefillas musaf we mention the korban musaf? So how come in shachmas we don't mention the tefillas atamit? What happened? We don't mention it. So the Noda B'Yehuda says the reason is exactly because it is the reason of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said a person has a right to daven as many times a day as he wants. So if the Shmona Esri would mention the Korban, we wouldn't be able to daven more than once, because the Korban Tomid, you couldn't conceivably bring more than once. So there's a notion of the Tfilas Nedova. And yet, we very, very much shy away from Tfilas Nedova. Why? Because the question is, when we actually are mechuyev to daven, do we daven with the appropriate kavona, with a very strong awareness of the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom, that was standing before the Rabbeinu Shalom, with an awareness of the meaning of each word that passes from our lips? Halavai we'd be able to make such a statement, but we know it's not so easy to make. So for that reason, we don't undertake normally tefillas nedova. Dayenu that with the tefillas that we're mechuyev to do. Listen, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam asks us why we daven. So we'll tell him, listen, the Shulchan Aruch says I had to daven. What am I supposed to do? You know, violate the Shulchan Aruch. Good. Okay, that's a teretz. If we daven the tefillas nedova and it looked like some of our tefillas, what are we going to tell the Rebbeinu Shel Olam then? He's going to tell us mibikesh zos miyetchem ramos chatzerai. Right? Who asked you to trample on my courtyard? So what are we going to answer to that? I decided to do so. That's a pretty lame answer. Before the Rebbeinu Shalom. Chazal obligated me. What could I do? I did my best. I was obligated. You know, I was a mitzuva. So I had no choice. But if I'm a volunteer who asked you to go make such a mess. So that's the reason that women should not get involved with tefillin, since they're not mechuyev, and it's hard to maintain the proper level of kedusha. So they, and therefore there are more paskins, and this comes from the Kolbo and the Rishayim, is meichin biyodom. Okay, so that just shows you that our attempts to give a rationale to the halacha are not consistent with all the cases. You know, the svara you say may even come from Rishonim. In fact, I think the Avud Raham, if I recall, suggests such a svara, but it obviously is not fully encompassing. As I believe you're Rabbi Yerucham of the Mir, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, writes, I believe that's where I saw it. He says, we talk about Tamei HaMitzvahs. Tamei HaMitzvahs, he says, does not mean the reason for mitzvahs. We have no idea what the reason for mitzvahs are. We can't look at the world from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam standpoint. We don't understand the spiritual implications of mitzvahs. We don't know why, what the mitzvahs are about. All we can do, ask ourselves, is one thing. What benefit do we draw from the mitzvahs? That we can define. And that's Tamei HaMitzvahs. So that's in a utilitarian sense, what can we perceive that we gain from it? The spiritual reality of the mitzvahs and what they're about, we have no means to even begin to understand. So the halacha is not something, as much as we attempt to understand it and define it, but it's in the realm of Tamei HaMitzvahs. So, this is an important point. Now, the Shulchan Aruch is talking, let's be very honest, the Shulchan Aruch is not talking about someone who is out to make a political statement by wearing talis and tefillah. You know, the Shulchan Aruch is talking about someone with extremely sincere intentions. That's Kula L'Shem Shamayim. And Afal Pikein, the Ramah says, nevertheless, they may not wear tefillin. You know, when we're getting involved with, you know, political protests, you know, using talis and tefillin, that's totally beyond the pale altogether. And that's beyond the pale. We don't even need the Ramah for that. Because when it reaches that level, that's a rejection of Teres Moshe. The fact that people cannot accept the role that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has given them is being kaifer b'Teres Moshe. The Rebbeinu Shlomo assigned each of us a task. And that is not only the difference between the gender difference between men and women, but even within men. I would very much like to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. I only have one little problem. My grandfather forgot to become a Kohen. So what can I do? So I'll come to the Beis HaMikdash and they'll let me walk 11 Amos into the Azara and they'll tell me here's the line and that's it. Don't take another step. Okay. There's a Kohen who is fascinated with the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. He'd love to make a Pidyon HaBen. Svet them Gornish telephone. He's never going to make a Pidyon HaBen. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave each one of us our tasks. And we have to be consumed with our tasks and not possessed with the desire to take upon other people's responsibility upon ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, then we understand that the world is a good place because people have varied responsibilities. Just imagine a secular world where everyone would have the same profession. Whatever that profession is, it would make no difference what it is. If everyone was a lawyer, everyone was a doctor, everyone was an accountant, everyone was a plumber, everyone was an electrician. Right? The world would be a churban. An absolute churban. Why? Because, you know, you'd be able to fix the electric, but that's about it. You know, the plumbing wouldn't work. You know, nobody would know how to run a business. If somebody got sick, nobody would know how to take care of them. Kohena v'kohena. Nobody would be able to articulate how legal systems should work and how to maintain order without having a duel and shooting each other dead to settle our differences. The world would be a disaster. So the Rebbeinu Shalom b'chastoy made very different, divergent types of personalities and interests in this world. So basically, that people do all different types of things. And that's what makes the world a world. It's equally true when it comes to Avodas Hashem as well. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has a very broad range of tasks. If everybody did exactly the same thing, the world would cease to function. Wouldn't be a world. There were those that are intended to be great Goyim. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave them the circumstances, the disposition, and the disposition and the mental abilities to do so. Most other people in the world were not intended to be great Goyim. So it's a Gornish Telfin, you know, no matter what they're going to do, they're not going to be one of the great Goyim of the Dor. Good, they'll be a Yid, they'll learn Torah, they'll be Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs, they'll be a fine Erlich Yid, but one of the Goyim of the Dor they're not going to be. But he may be one of the most extraordinary Balei Chesed that the Dor ever saw. Yes. He may be a person that's inspiring with the way he sings the Tefillahs. There are a million things. One person, there are different types of chasodim. One person finds it in Halavayas HaMeis, in Chevra Kedisha. One person finds it in Bikachayla. Another person finds it in helping Aniyim. Another person finds it in helping sick children. It's endless. All the tasks that we have to do. There's a Rebbe in our school. He's in his mid-60s already at least. And he teaches the pre-1A. And what can I tell you? He's the Jewish Pied Piper. The chiyus that he gives to the kids, none of us at any age have of any association with it. He has a million costumes that he comes and dressed up for every for all types of parshiyas. You know, he can bring a lamb to the yeshiva and tie it up outside of the bed when Shabbos HaGadol is coming. If Noach is coming, he came with a boat outside the yeshiva. You know, the Torah lives. The kids have tremendous excitement. It's a gift the Rebbeinu Shlomo gave them. So, the world is not intended for everyone to do the same things. And it's a fortunate thing that we don't give the same responsibilities in our community to the men and the women. Our problems are that the nature of our society is that the women's responsibilities are coming closer and closer to the men's. And what's suffering and all of that is our children. Like, raising children has become a much more difficult task for that reason. So, Rabbi Shlomo Bechasta gave us different responsibilities. And we need to respect that. Let's take a look at halacha of tefillin in the morning. Important halacha. It's one that we know. What's the greatest teacher? The greatest teacher is observation. If I'll ask you, which one should you put on in the morning first? You put on your talis first or your tefillin first? So everyone knows the answer. Why? Because when you got married and you came to shul and you look around, every other guy in shul is putting on his talis first, and so is the rope. So you figure they all can't be off the wall, so it's most probably what you're supposed to do. So you do it too. So we all know from practical experience that you put on the talis before the tefillin. Why do we put on before the talis before the tefillin? That's already a different question. The what? So the very first halacha in Hilchas Tefillin, the very first halacha, the first sifra in Hilchas Tefillin, Simon Chafei Sif Aleph. Achar Shalovash Talis Metziyitz. After we put on an appropriately prepared talis with the appropriate tzitzis, Yaniach Tefillin. Then we should first put on the tefillin. So it's actually a halacha. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shemaylim B'Kodesh, that the person should elevate himself with Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Tefillin is greater than the Kedusha of the Talis. So therefore, we should then put on the Tefillin subsequently. It's right. The Chabad Chaim writes, Ala Odom Koi, Shetzorach Leilech Midargo Ledargo. We have to go from one Madrega to the next. There's no Cheftza. In other words, the question is, when we talk about Ma'ilim B'Kodesh, it's to take a Cheftza and to elevate its Kedusha. So here we have two different things. So what are we elevating B'Kedusha? This apparently, this is a kasha in a number of the Achronim ask. What's Shayach, Ma'ilim B'Kedusha? So this is a teretz given by the Groh. The Groh says, the Ma'ilim B'Kedusha is the person. He's the object that we're talking about. Ki metchilu rak mechasa es asmo, I cover myself b'kisui shal mitzvah. I'm wrapped in something which is an article of a mitzvah. That's a certain kedusha. That's a tremendous attachment to the Rabbeinu Shalom which comes through tefillin. So the person is elevating himself. So ma'ilim b'kodesh, v'amenichem b'kis, and if we have a bag that we keep the talis and the tefillin in, ha'tefillin v'atalis atoich ha'kis l'sitoch kis achas, if we keep them all in one bag, so we should not have the tefillin on the top. In other words, I have to have that the first thing I'm going to reach in the morning is the talis. Because if I will reach them, I'll have to put them on before the talis if I take them out first. Well, we'll see. The chayra, you should have to put it on because the ain't maviran ala mitzvahs. And the Chofetz Chaim explains. Acha shalom, but even if the talis is only mechuyev b'drabbana, you go in shulu acha shloishim yom, a borrowed talis that I borrowed for more than 30 days, there's only a din d'rabbanan. Nevertheless, yesh lakdiba b'tulim. Even though this is a din derabbanan, that's a din deraisa, but it's still ma'ilim b'kodesh. Yaniach tefillin. This is let's skip this part for now. Shelo yifka, that he shouldn't touch the tefillin first. Even if he won't actually take the medicine, they're closer to him than the talis. Is ein marvir aliyim, wouldn't have a right to pass them by. That's why in my talis bag I always put, as soon as I open the zipper in the front, is the talis. It's filled, and I push to the back, so that I should have the talis right away. Then b'tzorach lagdiman if the tefillin are there first. B'chol zedavkim reitz al niyachat tefillin. It's assuming that it's the time that a person intends to put on tefillin. Let's say I don't intend to put on the tefillin yet. Whatever, I want to learn in my talis, but I'm not interested in putting on my tefillin for another half an hour. Is lo shayach b'zayin mavirin ala mitzvahs. Then we wouldn't have the principle of mavirin ala mitzvahs. It's tarach la nicham. If I bumped into the tefillin first, I would have to put on the tefillin first. Nearly poshut in this palo b'veisai v'reitz la niach talis tefillin. Suppose I'm davening at home. Let's say they're lying separately, the talis and the tefillin, and they're in two rooms. They're not on one bed, and in the first room has the tefillin, and the second room has the talis. So what's the din? There's a din that I have to put on the tefillin first. Since the tefillin are ready to go, and they're the first thing. And even though he hasn't actually picked up the tefillin, but the tefillin are the first thing that he comes near, he's mechuyif to put on the tefillin before he puts on the talis. Kaidam atalis. V'mover v'nicha miyodu v'notel atalis. Suppose he erred, and now he put down the tefillin and he picked up the talis now. Shuv osir la'ozro will eat the tefillin. Then he can't turn around and put down the talis now because of ein mavir and ala mitzvahs. So this is an important halacha. Meal and tefillin is a monim biyodo. Let's say it's the other way around. He has his tefillin and he doesn't have his talis. Ve'elot tzitzis and tzorach lahamten ala tzitzis. Don't wait till one gets the tzitzis. V'niach tefillin first, put on the tefillin. V'shemavim talis ma'atvoi. Then he has to put it on. Ve'elot tzitzis and rilu holech b'li dalet kanfus. Even if it means he's not wearing dalet kanfus. We certainly don't have to be concerned. But even if a person had neither talis cotton nor talis gold, he doesn't have to wait until it's filling come. It's all they say, mashin as a mitzvah. If you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, I shouldn't delay. Even though the mitzvah that I'll do later is perhaps a better mitzvah because of Mailim B'Kaydish, nevertheless, mitzvah b'shaita chaviva. That to do a mitzvah at the appropriate time takes precedence. If I don't have the toddah presently, I don't have to wait for the toddah, I do the eno toddah first.
Why did you say talus is first?
What?
Talus is first because it's toddah.
Why don't they say talis first? Because of todr. Because that may go into the shayla. I'll tell you why I wouldn't answer that. That mahalach, what strikes me. The Gemara in Zvochen has a shayla. I think in Avtzalik Aleph. You'll get there in a little while with the Daf Yomi in around 3 months. But there Gemara has a shayla and the sugya of Todah, what happens to Todah of a Kiddush? Which one comes first? And the Gemara concludes that it's an Iboy de la Ikshita. The Gemara does not have a clear proof in the halacha which one takes precedence. So Mamela, that would not be a reason then to say to be mocked in the Talis because of Todah, because we just said the children of a Kiddush. So the Chayra, that's the reason that wouldn't be the answer. We don't have a clear-cut halacha that Todah takes precedence over Mekudosh. So tefillin is a tremendous chus, tremendous kedusha that's involved. And it's interesting. Chazal tell us that any mitzvah with Klal Yisrael was really meiser nefesh b'shas shmad. Then a dayim or mekayim, the mitzvah, and all the, we were zeicha to be mekayim the mitzvah, besimcha, and all the doors. And the classical example of that is Mitzvah Mila. Mila is just tremendous Mesiras Nefesh always in Klal Yisrael. And it was a celebration. It's interesting, I had a Russian neighbor. Today he's a Yid, he's about 90 years old, in his 90s already. And he lived in Russia till about 1980. When he moved, came, he got out of Russia and he came, he became my neighbor in pretty short order, and I've stayed friendly with him for all of these years. So he said in the Soviet Union, they also was very common where he was that they fulfilled Mitzvah Mila. He says they didn't fulfill Mitzvah Mila B'Yom HaShmini. He says that would have been much too dangerous to do. They used to wait sometimes about a month's time until, you know, people forgot about almost the fact that this person had a baby and nobody was watching, and then the family would quietly gather and they would do a Bris Mila. Even under those circumstances. Even under, you know, the Russian, the communist regime. So it's on the other hand, the Gemara says that tefillin, we find that we didn't have Siras Nefesh B'Shash Shmat. And it's interesting, the Gemara relates that in the Roman era, there was someone called Elisha. And he put on tefillin despite a Roman decree that it was also to wear tefillin. And a policeman saw him and started chasing after him. So as he ran away, he took off the tefillin. It must have been small tefillin, and he put them inside his hands. And when the policeman said to open up his hands, a dove popped out. So it's a nes. So he was zoicha to a nes, because he had Mesiras Nefesh to put on the tefillin. But the fact that he wasn't ready, we were not ready, and we're not critical of him, but we weren't ready to be mamash with Mesir Nefesh, and it could be even Al-Pidin, there's no Inyan of Mesiras. The Rishonim asked why there wasn't an Inyan of Mesiras Nefesh. It was a Shashmat. It was Shashmat, you have to be Mesir Nefesh on all the mitzvah of the Torah. So what was the head to take them off? So among the answers, Tosis raises the problem, the Ritvah raises the problem. One is a very lumdish answer that the Rishonim give, and that is that a person is mechuyev in Mesiras Nefesh when the mitzvah is b'sheva al tasa. So when the mitzvah is b'sheva al tasa, if I refuse to do it, so that's it. It's not going to happen. They'll kill the person, fine, but he still won't do the aver. But if it's a mitzvah saseh, that if they don't want him to fulfill it, all they do, they'll take away his tefillin, they'll lock him up in jail, and he won't be able to fulfill it. So then there's no Indian of Mesiras Nefesh in such a case, because it's not biyodo to fulfill the mitzvah against what they could do to him. They could stop him from doing the mitzvah. So therefore there's no din Mesiras Nefesh and a mitzvah saseh, even b'shash shmat. That's the lomdish answer that you find in Rishonim. But Rishonim talk about it. But the upshot of it is, and it's interesting, he was zeicha to an es, and it was tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, but it wasn't the fullest degree of Mesiras Nefesh b'shash shmat. Is we find that tefillin is a mitzvah which has a checkered history. As I mentioned to you, the Smag writes, and it's a Tosis really, Masechta Shabbos, Tosis just doesn't spell it out. The Smag spells it out in Mitzvah Gimel. The average Frum Balabos at the time of the Smag did not wear tefillin. Yeah, they decided, it says you need Guf Noki Ke Elisha, yeah. Tefillin is for holy men. That's why the Shulchan Aruch wrote that even though we are exempt from wearing it a whole day, nevertheless, we eat tzorach lizor, we have to make sure to put them on. Because in the time of the Rishonim, the normal from Jew, well, tefillin is for holy people. You're a really going, you wear tefillin, you know. Wasn't have shaykhus with me. I'm not a net madrega. So the Smag writes in Mitzvah Gimel, you could look it up in the Mitzvah Saseh. He says, I went around from town to town, and I darshened about the chiyuv to put on tefillin, and there's... And he says, because of me, he says, thousands of people started to wear tefillin. That's what he writes. Thousands of people started to wear tefillin because of me, the Smag writes. And there's a Tosfos. There's a Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos that gives all the reasons, all types of excuses why not to wear tefillin. And Tosfos debunks them. He says, they're all wrong. You have to wear tefillin. Tosfos just doesn't tell us the historical background order that he was talking about was that in the time of Rishonim, it was a struggle to convince people to wear tefillin. So, in some regards, it's had a checkered history. As we know, it's a mitzvah which has, you know, Mitzvah's Mila remains super popular in Klal Yisrael. And Mitzvah's Tefillin, you know, it's, you have to be from the pious ones. You know. But people at times had to be, you know, extremely Mesir Nefesh. He quotes the Bach, The Bach writes the following. A person doesn't have enough money to buy talis and tefillin. He says, he doesn't have to go to beg for money. A person that has the money, that he relies upon the fact, why should I spend the money? I'll borrow them from then. Ronnie has tefillin. I'll borrow Ronnie's tefillin. He's a good guy, Ronnie. The Bach writes that is a big einish, and the Chofetz Chaim has got more to show you. They say the mekayim mitzvahs tefillin kedin because they're not the right size. The gamavorach levatolo, whatever aloy siso, the gamavakesha cotton or godel, it's the right size. If you know that's rosho, and he doesn't want to start adjusting the next guy's tefillin, the guy will be upset about it. If you put tefillin and they're not on in the right place, then kumunochem bekisam, it's as if you didn't take them out of the betulim bag altogether. So if a person is in the situation of yodom aseges, so that he's mechuyev to wear tefillin. Mashver just told me now, I never heard this from him before, what amazing, that during the war, when he was, I think, one seg in Litta, when the Russians came to Litta, so he said he used to sleep in one place, and he learned the Beis Medrash. He learned was in a different place. The mir was split in four places. So one fine overnight, the communist Yimach Shimon V'Zichron came, and they padlocked the building. There was a shul. What I learned, they padlocked the shul. That's it. It was banned. You were not allowed to go into the shul. And to go in, go in under a martial seizure, in effect, was a very severe offense. Nobody would dare to do such a thing. And his tefillin. He had very mahudidik tefillin, I think, from one of his uncles, and the tefillin were in that shul. That's because that's what he learned. That's where he slept somewhere else. He came, and overnight, they padlocked the place. Never got those tefillin back. And he said for about a half a year's time, he didn't have tefillin. So he used to borrow from one of his chaverim every day, until finally, Abishrub Chaim Shmulevitz gave him money to buy tefillin. So he was zeich, during the war yet, before I left for China, to buy another pair of tefillin that he had, throughout the war. But for a half a year, he said he didn't have tefillin. He had to borrow every day a pair of tefillin. We, Baruch Hashem, we're not asked to have such mesiras nefesh for the mitzvah. But an understanding of the kedusha, how great the mitzvah is, and as the Goyin writes, is we connect ourselves with the Rabbein Hashem, with Yichud Hashem and the Kedusha Samokum through tefillin. It's a tremendous elevation. The Ma'ilim B'Kodesh is us. I had a Shaila, just my brother-in-law was here from Eretz Yisrael. He now went down to Argentina and Brazil for his organization to help Russian Jews. So we had a very interesting shayla that someone brought him a pair of tefillin that he bought as a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and he wore them for a couple of years as a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, and then he opened them up, and lo and behold, the parshiyos inside were according to Seder Rashi. So whatever the reason, the Yid decided he doesn't want these tefillin, and he gave them away to him to give, to use for whatever he could, in Kiruv. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to use them as Rashi tefillin. Now, very unusual shayla. So I asked the Chavra, my Chassidish Sofer, called him up, what he had to say, and he had a very profound insight into the Shaila, correct insight, undoubtedly. He's a Choshev Talmud Chochem. And he said, he asked me, did he actually ever use them as Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin or not? So here they were, he wanted to use them as Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, but they were never actually Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. He says, then he could use them as Rashi Tefillin. But if you ever use the tefillin as Rashi tefillin or Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, you can't change them. Why? Because of this question that we talked about of Ma'ilim HaKodesh Rein Moridin. Because if you hold, for example, that the Rashi tefillin are the right tefillin, so how could you make them into Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? You wear a Rabbeinu Tam tefillin because you hold that those are the right tefillin. So if I use them as Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, how could I now change them to say they're a parshi to make them into Rashi tefillin? So that would be Harod HaBekedusha. But this Yid, Lamaisa, he intended to get Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. He had a Nimuch and a Mezum, and every day he put them on at the end of davening is Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. 2 years after he got them, he found out he doesn't have Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. He has Rashi Tefillin. Said it were never used for anything. The Kedusha that they had is only the Kedusha of Rashi Tefillin. So to use them as Rashi Tefillin is not a problem. So the Goyin say so far that they go from Talis to Tefillin, that where's the Milam B'Kaydish? The Milam, what's the Cheftz that has the Milam B'Kaydish? We are a Cheftza. We're the article. And the Talis is one level of mitzvah, and the Kedusha's Tefillin is a different level. So if we start off the day with the realization that the significance of why we put on the Talis, and then we put on the Tefillin second, that itself should bring us focus on what the Kedusha's Tefillin is. And that's a tremendous way to begin the fulfillment of the mitzvah's Tefillin each day. Agudah, Rabbi Yisrael. Didn't happen. The Parshias had Seder of Rashi inside, so it didn't become. It never became Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin. The bottom is.